Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue, it won't do.
Dance. Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places so they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can dress real neat from our hats to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. Say, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, they're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. I guess it's a, we whooped the Gators Monday, right?
I can live with that.
I mean, you know, it is weird when the other team wins the last game of the series. But
and celebrates like they won the World Series.
They did do that.
We should have gotten the sweep there.
Should have done it.
It would have been better, but, you know, win's a win.
I'll give a little hat tip to Sully. He brings in that pinch hitter who had to be 47 years old and on roids. And good God. He hit that ball where all game, the announcers, Bob Kessling and who was the other one? He was on the drive. Forget his name. Played at Tennessee. Said, oh, ain't nothing going out of right field today. That dude hit it to the river over right field. I mean, to the river.
To the river.
It's a quick bet. To the river. That's
Tennessee had already taken 2 of 3.
Yeah, we didn't need it, but we wanted it.
Had a good, good open practice. Feel like maybe
it wasn't bad.
Sort of. I didn't see anything bad. Yeah.
Weather held up.
Yep. I was
somewhere between 200 and 102,000 in attendance.
I thought our guy said He thought of between 100 and 150.
Oh, really?
I think that,
they announced like 1,500 to 2,000, and I saw the picture and I said, mm-mm. Nope.
Well, that was before it started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of our writers said it was about 10 minutes before it started, I think.
Okay.
He said it was like, say he's not good at math, though. He estimated 100 to 150.
Counting things you see?
100
that's
to 150.
Not good at math? I think that's.
Well, estimating. I guess he's a bad estimator.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
He's not going to count to 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to go around Neyland Stadium counting.
No. I mean, you could.
They ran an attendance report. They said 1,500 to 2,000.
I think so.
That was it? Really?
We said they gave them 2 days' notice. The weather looked bad. It finally turned good right before. People got to plan that kind of stuff. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. That was good. It was great Masters?
I guess. Was it?
I mean, the tournament was great. The Sunday was a little boring, but that's just because Hideki Matsuyama did all of his work. He had a big lead. He had a margin.
Listen, I don't blame him one bit. He did what he had to do. He won the Masters. Congratulations. Super happy for him. Country of Japan, first major winner.
I mean, did you hear some of the discussion about if he were to win the Masters with the Olympics coming up in Japan? Like, he is already a hero in Japan, like an icon. That win may move him into the top spot for whoever lights the torch at the Olympics.
Really?
Yeah. Right. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Good for him. Seems like a nice guy. I don't know if that's true or not, but he seems nice. Mm-hmm. First Japanese player.
I blame the Chasers. Like, nobody manned up and held it together.
That's true.
My boys, Andrew Schauffele, who I picked to win the tournament, was right there. He went four birdies in a row on the second night on Sunday, where the Masters is always decided. He's cut the lead to two. He has the honors on 16. Just chuck one right there in the middle of the green and let it feed on down to the hole.
What do you do?
He skied it. Do you understand how bad of a miss hit that had to be? To basically, I mean, it barely cleared the water on the fly, hits the bank, rolls back in. I mean, like, he's 20 yards short on that shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be, basically, there's that big ridge in the green.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to land it kind of right into the ridge and then let it funnel back to the hole. I mean, he basically fanned on that. I mean, that's like you or me hitting that, like, that chunk where it goes 40 yards on a 140 yard shot and just splash. That's how bad he missed that.
Huge divot.
I mean, what's he?
yeah. For me,
actually,
to hit that huge divot.
For him, I think it hit a little higher on the club face. Like, he didn't chunk it, but as soon as it came off his club, Dottie Pepper, who always follows the final group, does a great job. She goes, "It's a super high shot." And I'm like, uh oh.
It's going to need to go.
yeah.
Needs to go.
Like, Xander, you're right there.
Yep, your pick and my pick tied for third.
That's pretty Spieth. Good. Whoop Tyler Lane's. Although his was, his peaked too early. Didn't he say Justin Thomas? He did. He was playing lights out, first couple days? Was it Saturday he fell apart? I don't know where he went. Like, all of a sudden, I love how that in golf, like, you got a Thursday leader sometimes.
Yes, it was Saturday, 75 on Saturday. Yep. 67 Friday.
And the TV crews, they have no sympathy. Like, You could be leading the tournament for 2.5 days, and all of a sudden, you're like seventh. No more TV time for you, buddy.
It's true. I'm trying to just look around here. Patrick Reed, tied for eight.
What's the guy's Happy Gilmore caddy's name?
Will Zalatoris.
Zalatoris.
24 years old. First Masters.
He was incredible.
He made it interesting there.
See, if he'd played a little better down the stretch, it didn't feel like it was going to matter. But then Matsuyama, I mean, it's kind of leaking oil rolling to the finish line.
Oh, no, he was.
Yeah.
When he flew over the green into the water, I was like, oh,
that was the
boy.
Moment.
And then the camera angle made it look like he's having to hit back through a forest because they're showing it as it goes through. It's like tree, 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 tree.
Yeah.
But it's actually a pretty open look for him.
But he barely got up on the green. He's still two-putted.
He didn't get it to the green. I think that was probably the smart play because if you hit it a little too far and it catches that downslope, he's probably in the water on the other side.
You can hit that ball in the water for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's, what, 15, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Zalatoris, 70, 68, 71, 70.
He could have shot 67 or 68 the way he
played. I know. The difference was Matsuyama, Saturday, 65. Mm-hmm. Then he goes 73 in his winning round. But
just held on to it. Well, he would have, if he didn't have a two-shot cushion on 18, he's going to play that bunker shot more aggressively. He's going to, like, he is going to do some things differently and maybe still
You could tell, though,
win.
He had the Faldo nerves on that last putt. Just, he, like, stood over it a little extra.
On the little shorty?
Yeah.
Like the one to win?
Yeah. No, the one before that.
Oh, yeah. No,
you could tell he was like, I know I can make this, but.
Yeah.
He just kind of, just get it close. You just need one little tap in. You're going to win. It's fine.
Can't imagine.
Very Happy Gilmore-esque, actually.
Just tippy. Well, it was fun. It was fun.
Were there any other good storylines from the Masters other than what happened on Sunday? Good to see Spieth kind of getting back.
My pick got disqualified.
What?
Yeah, Matthew Wolff got disqualified because he signed a lower score than he actually had.
Mm. Bummer.
He was already going to miss the cut, but...
Just a complete DQ?
Yep,
there he is. If you scroll down to the very bottom of the Masters field, a bunch of cuts, DQ'd. So what, he turned in a 78 and he shot a 79?
I got to look at it.
Yikes.
Well, that's, my sleeper pick was the guy that got the two-stroke penalty for his moving of about 4 grains of sand in the bunker.
Abraham Answer, is that right?
That was my sleeper.
That was something.
Uh-huh.
That was nothing like Patrick Reed's little, like, scoop away all the sand. This was – I felt bad for him. That was something.
Somebody was like, wait a minute, we got to pay for ESPN Plus just, and then try and, like, find the group we want to watch or a certain camera angle or whatever – before this, but you guys have super slow-mo cheater cams in the bunkers. Like, what is going on here?
Good for John Rahm. Had a great Sunday round. New father. Now he gets to go back and change diapers. That was what Dottie. Did you catch that, by the way, when she was talking to John Rahm?
Mm-mm.
She said, now it's time to stop chasing birdies and chase those dirty diapers. And he was just like, oh. I'll gladly do that. It was just, I don't know, it was a really awkward exchange.
Well, did you hear the whole interview? Because she's like, how does it feel to get another top 10 finish? She's telling him how, oh, you're consistently finishing top 10 at the Masters, but you still haven't won one yet.
Well, she was setting him up like, you keep getting closer and closer. Do you feel that breakthrough coming? And he was like, I sure hope so. But he played well. He just had a bad, I think he said he basically played the exact same round the day before. He just got a lot luckier on Sunday. You know, shot rolls a certain way, wind blows a certain way, wind balls in the air. But I like John Rahm. I could stand him to win one.
I think he shot one on 13 or 14, approach shot to the hole, where it lands on the green and it, like, stuck on the green right near the pin, and he just did the sign of cross.
Say amen at the corner.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good little move by him, though. Gave a chuckle. Till next year, Augusta. Did you see the protesters showed up outside of Augusta?
No.
And there were 9 of them.
Oh.
About the new voting laws in Georgia.
Oh.
That was the big headline. Protesters at Augusta. 9 people.
Would you see what Deadspin wrote?
No.
About how the PGA should move the tournament.
Mm.
The PGA doesn't run the tournament.
I didn't realize they were still a thing.
The PGA can't move the tournament. Somebody made the analogy, this will be, well, I can't remember the exact specifics, but basically it'd be like asking the NFL, you know, to move, like, Tennessee's football game, like the Vols. Like, it's like it wrong organization. Right sport, but that's not the way it works. Not to mention the obvious. I mean, I don't know. Hideki Matsuyama wins because the Masters starts programs for Japanese golfers and for golfers all around the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was like the Masters, it's limited commercial. So it's like IBM, Mercedes, and then I forget what it's called, but it's like, hey, this is a free program to get young people into golf.
Yeah.
Like that's what they do. They start this, it's not only in this country, it's literally all over the world.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, Masters, how dare they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically said, even this was before he won, he had told the broadcast team, I guess, in one of the interviews that just for him to be a golfer at this level, he was thanking the members of Augusta National.
Well, it was interesting too. Did you hear that because of his status on the PGA Tour and events like this, he normally has dozens of Japanese reporters who, like, that's their job. You're going to go to America and you're going to cover Hideki Matsuyama. Mm-hmm. Because I guess right now he is considered the best Japanese golfer on tour. And that is like this pool of reporters. It's like, you know, the White House reporters. Like, they just follow him around. That's their job. Because there's enough demand for content regarding Hideki Matsuyama. And he said this week there were none because of the restrictions. And he actually said, as much as I love the coverage and love being, you know, the face of golf for Japan, the lack of, you know, extra interviews and extra questions and kind of the pressure of them following me around is actually taking a lot of stress off of me. And he said that's one of the reasons he played so well. But you could tell the stress was getting to him on that back nine a little bit. Like you said, leaking oil.
Mm-hmm.
If that thing had to go five more holes, I don't think he wins. Like if he had gone to a playoff, if somehow he three putts there at the end and it's him and Zalatoris. I mean, Zalatoris was down, what, four strokes? And he goes to the driving range. He's like, I'm going to be loose. I'm going to be ready just in case. Good for Hideki to hold on. But I like that Zalatoris kid. I mean, he's got to weigh, 96 pounds?
Yeah.
Looks exactly like Happy Gilmore's first caddy. The little kid with the blonde, bleach blonde, blown back hair.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a pointy face. He's got those weird eyes. But he's a gunner, man. Confident kid. 24 years old. How would you like to be 24? You just played four rounds of golf. You're walking home with 1.2 mil.
That's energy.
He kind of looks like a super, super skinny Davy Hudson.
He looks like a good looking Davy instead of whatever this is.
I'm having a good day so far. I'm not going to let you get me down.
He's got a really thin nose.
He does have a very, very thin nose.
Like a lot of...
Like pointy.
Yeah, like a lot of...
Like villains in cartoons.
Yeah. A lot of models are like that, though. They have really thin...
Oh, he could be a model. Mm. A lot of these guys could, probably.
He almost has basically, natural, they basically like, are. Cheeks. You know?
Oh, yeah. He's
and
got
then, of course, the hair. I mean, the hair.
The hair. The hair flows. The hair plays.
I had to pick up my kid's babysitter, and her dad, we're good friends, and he's a big golfer. So when I picked her up, she was like, so disappointed Zalatoris didn't win. I was like, I know how that is. Dropped her.
Oh, she thinks he's a cutie?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't ask. I don't want to.
I don't even think he's got the best hair on the tour.
Oh, he doesn't.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Fleetwood. Yeah. With the mullet just blowing in the wind.
All day.
He hit did he have the hole-in-one Friday?
Yeah, he holed one.
Yeah. And just golden locks in the wind. It was a great shot.
There were two that were holed in like the whole weekend. Right?
I'm trying to think of who had the other one.
Connors.
Corey Connors, Canadian, tied for eighth with Patrick Reed at 4-under.
Damn, Patrick Reed.
I don't hate him when I'm watching him, but just knowing everything I know about Patrick Reed, I can't be a fan. He's a dynamite golfer, man. He's really good.
Abraham Answer got penalized this weekend. Matthew Wolf gets DQ'd. Patrick Reed, how many penalty strokes did he get?
Probably zero.
Exactly.
Well, maybe he's seeing the error of his ways. Maybe he's straightening the ship. He's going to fly the...
No, because according to him, everyone on tour cheats.
Oh.
Is that what he said?
He has said that in the past of when he gets called out for cheating violations. He says everyone does that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't get caught, Patrick, so be better or more covert. One of the two. Biggest disappointment.
Imagine trying to go with that, like, in front of the jury, you know, as a criminal. Like, what? I know lots of people that do this, and you guys never bust them. It's like, yeah, sorry, buddy. To jail you go. Like, you're going to prison. Lots of people deal drugs and get away with it. Okay, bro, but you're the one that's standing here on trial.
You did it.
So, sorry.
Matthew Wolf disqualified. It's very sad.
Never making picks again for major championships.
That's fair. Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Jason Day missed the cut with a 77 and a 76. Not very good.
You said biggest disappointment.
I got mine.
I'd probably go DeChambeau just because of the hype around him going into the tournament.
Yeah, but he at least made the cut. I mean, I know he was never really in contention. He had a really tough opening round and a really great second day. He just couldn't find anything consistent. He went 76 opening round, then drops to a 67. I think a lot of people were thinking, uh-oh, makes the cut. Look out for big things on the weekend. He goes 75-75. I'm going to go with, however, you could probably just lob these two into the same category. One was injured, though. Like Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, missing the cut. Didn't see that one coming. Didn't see last year's champ. I realize it was only a few months ago.
Yeah.
But did not think that Dustin Johnson would miss the cut. Brooks Koepka, I wouldn't expect him to miss the cut, but he was all obviously banged up with the knee and the back issues. But DJ going 74-75 and then having to hang around for 2 days to deliver the jacket. It's tough. It's tough times.
I don't know. Pressure's off. Just get hanging around, drink some drinks, have some food.
Who was your
watch the guys play?
Who picked Sergio? Did anyone pick Sergio? Did someone mention him?
I mentioned him because he was part of a bet to where like four guys had to make the cut. He was next out.
All those
but Dustin
bets
Johnson,
lost, right?
Yeah, but Dustin Johnson was also a part of that bet too.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Sergio missed the cut.
I think it was you that mentioned him.
Yeah,
too.
I'm pretty sure it was you.
I can't trust Sergio.
I think he was your sleeper.
No, maybe not.
No, I might. If I said anything, I said, yeah, he might make it to the weekend, but then he'll fall apart. Mm. He fell apart early, 76-72.
No, you said something about him. I was like, yeah, but he can't putt.
Yeah, because he said something about Abraham Answer. Then you went with Sergio Garcia, and then I followed it up with John Rahm.
And I said, that's not a sleeper. And you're like, I know, but I like him. And I said, Sergio can't putt.
He was a fellow
I think
Spaniard.
I said Sergio as a sleeper, but no chance to win. Like, probably. he might do well, because
right.
I would never pick Sergio to win.
Sounds right.
Because he falls apart. No. I remember what I said. I said Sergio might be a sleeper pick because less crowd, and he's like a nervous Nelly out there, especially when he's having some success.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said he still won't win, but maybe with the low crowds, he'd have a better opportunity. He didn't. 76-72. And then he got benched. You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it.
Hideki Matsuyama. How long has he been on tour?
I think since 2011.
Okay.
He's been around.
Still needs a translator.
It's his, how bad would you feel if you're his dad?
What is that?
Yeah, your son won the Masters, but this is the first year that he got an actual swing coach. The dad had been coaching him
no
up until
way.
This point.
His dad had been his swing coach until this year.
Xander Schauffele's dad is still his swing coach. It was weird. The final group, both were dad talks.
Were they golfers? Their dad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think they're both.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, obviously, they got to be pretty good.
Yeah,
at
it just feels like at some point, you turn the reins over. It's like, but I mean, I get it, though. He's having success. I mean, they're making a good living. They're winning the occasional tournament. Maybe not majors, but, you know, they're in the hunt and in the mix. But you would think after, you know, you said he's been on tour since 2000, so he's 10 years. Like, maybe you just say, yeah, like maybe 5 years ago. Hey, why don't we try something else for a year or two? Just see what happens. You're going to have a long career. Don't need to rush things. I think his dad's probably pretty happy still.
I
mean, his son just won the Masters.
Making a joke.
But that is like a
funny.
Dang it. Should have done that a while
back. Well, I mean,
back.
I would think the dad's still involved with the work being done. But
Sure.
You get an expert guy or whatever. I don't know. Pretty funny.
I don't know what would be worse, having your dad as like your primary swing coach or having him on the sidelines, but he will still be acting as your secondary swing coach.
Mm. You got to like too many cooks in the kitchen type of thing. It's like, hey, son, I know that you know, your swing coach that we're paying a lot of money to do that said this, but don't do that. Like, what do you do? You're going to get yelled at one way or the other.
That's a good point.
No, thank you.
It gets messy.
I don't think at any point I'd say, like, yes, I want a family member to be coaching me, unless they were,
really?
Like, the best in the world.
Oh.
I mean, like, they coached other people, too.
Okay.
Like, on tour, but then that's a little conflict of interest. I'd probably just go find my own guy.
Well, maybe that's why. I mean, maybe all the other good guys are booked. You know, they've all got their own pro, so the dad got you there. You dance with who brung you.
Well, they found somebody. He just won the Masters.
I guess.
Just taking away, let's see, $2 million. $2,070,000. Pretty good. For 4 days of golf.
Well, and that's, you know, I don't know, if you're not a golf fan, when these guys win a major tournament, it's not so much like the prize money for that tournament. It's that you're now kind of set for life because you get exemptions into either that tournament forever or for 10 years, whatever the rules are. You're good to go on tour basically for life, unless you completely fall apart or whatever. But I mean,
you'll always have your green jacket hanging up in a locker at Augusta.
I mean, there's a lot of stress around being a professional golfer, even when you're doing well, because if you lose it, if you just kind of lose the swing, if you kind of lose that edge, and it's a knife edge between being, you know, in the money and missing the cut week in, week out. If you just kind of lose it and start missing cuts, and you haven't kind of done anything big, like, your career's over. And it's not like a baseball player where they kind of get to the show and they sign a big contract and they're locked in and they're going to be good to go for 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, you've kind of got to prove it.
Like, yeah, just and reprove it over and over and over. When you win a major, it's like cashing
you're,
in.
Yeah, that, you're in the club, basically. That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Duke, like the brotherhood, so to speak.
That's a good analogy, yeah.
Just, are you making fun of it or you actually agree?
I'm making fun of the brotherhood. I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Right.
Yeah, he's in the club.
In the club.
Green jacket. Gold jacket. Green jacket. Who gives a...
We'll come back with more Monday edition. Glad you've joined us here on Three and Out.
Good stuff. Good stuff. It's good.
It's good. It's nice that you say that.
Yeah. I wanted to let you know it's good.
Well, you never do the, like...
Hey, man, I got bad news.
We need to talk. Well, you never do the... And then, like, what is... Just tell me. What is it?
I can't. It'll have to be later. I hate that. I hate that. Because I'm stewing over it. You're stewing over it.
Well, I've done that to you before. In the,
it's good.
Like, hey, I need to talk about something. But it's good. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not, that's what this is.
All right. Sounds good.
How about Tony V and the boys?
Tony V. Pay that man his money.
You know, it's funny. I actually thought maybe they played one of their better games of the series on Sunday, and they ended up losing because they brought in that Hulk to hit it over the... Mm-hmm. Right field fence, but
you were tweeting about a bunch of the F-bombs by the
Okay. Hear me say this. I don't care. This is not me clutching pearls or, oh, our boys are so... No, I don't care about that. But every time they would put a camera on the Florida coach or some players, it was nothing but F-bombs. The entire series. I watched all three games. It was just like, do you guys not know another word? Like, is that it? And then... Whew. The strike zone yesterday for that umpire was a little bit weird. Neither coach was happy with it. Neither pitcher was happy with it. The catchers were going crazy. The batters were going crazy. We had at least two scenarios where our guys are tossing their bat and taking off their stuff because they think they got walked, and the ump's waiting and then rings them up as they're like basically walking to first base. And then Tony V got a little upset at a quick pitch. You know, our guys... doing his little routine, stands up, getting set, and the ball comes over. The ump calls it a ball, thank goodness. So then Tony V runs out, starts chewing out the ump. During the then I think they went to break maybe. But it was got a little heated. And then their pitcher, I forget his name, doesn't matter.
Christian Scott.
Scott. He was good. He strikes out two, and then he looks over to Tony V, clear as day, and says, F off, and shut the F up.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed Tony V. It looked like his players were holding him back. He was like, he was ready to go. He was ready to probably fight Florida's pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what people, oh, he's a coach. He should. Tony V's only like 10 years older than that guy. Like, you want it? Come get it, boy. Let's go. It's not like he's over there 50, mm-hmm. you know, talking smack. Tony V, he's a smack talker. Like, he doesn't care. He's feisty. As Bob Kessling said, he's got that little Italian attitude, mm-hmm. if you will. And his players feed off of it. It's good. But I thought Tony V was going to get tossed. He kind of threw the ump away as, you know, he walked away from him, gave him the get out of here, whatever. But he was fired up. But I give Florida credit. I think that fired Florida up, too, because then they brought in old buddy and he pumped one over the fence.
Mm.
But it was a good game. At least the bats woke up. We got Pavloni, was first homer, a nice two-run blast that I thought was going to be the ball game. And then pitching kind of got a little... A little dicey there towards the end. I'm trying to think. They out hit us what, Alex? 11-8,
I believe so.
And won 7-6.
Yeah, I feel bad for Hundley. I mean, usually he's been a pretty good or reliable reliever in the back end of the bullpen, but he was leaving balls up, and that's never good.
Never what you want.
Nope.
Never what you want. But Tennessee takes 2 out of 3 over Florida. I said it on Friday. I just wanted to win one. I didn't want to get swept. Then they win the series on Saturday. I'm thinking, okay, now we're playing with house money to the max. They take a late lead. Florida comes back. Again, I was ecstatic. I still am. But did you know, Nate, that if we had won yesterday, there is a chance that when the next baseball polls come out, because Vandy dropped 2 out of 3, and Ole Miss and Arkansas split a doubleheader, we could have been number one in the country. We're not going to drop. We're probably going to move up a little bit, but we could have been number one. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's all SEC teams, and they all lost. I mean, Vandy lost the series. Mm. And then.
Do we know who won Arkansas-Ole Miss series?
I thought Ole Miss was up 2-0 going into Sunday.
Were they? Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's what I remember seeing.
I know Ole Miss jumped all over Arkansas in the Saturday game? Did you see the... So Ole Miss is allowing full attendance at their games.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the beer celebration?
I know the guy who hit the home run.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I see it.
There you go.
Arkansas beat Ole Miss yesterday, 18-14. Is that what we were after? Who won yesterday?
Arkansas came back yesterday and won 18-14.
18-14. A lot of runs yesterday.
Yeah.
It was Sunday pitching, I guess. Mississippi State over Auburn, 19-10.
I think they scored 10 runs in the first inning. It might have been 12.
Oh yeah, I saw an Auburn writer writing about how it was his 40th birthday, and he thought Auburn was trying to give him a tribute by allowing that many runs. Alabama 7, Texas A&M 4, Kentucky 13, LSU 4, of course Florida 7, Tennessee 6, and South Carolina 13, Missouri 4.
Arkansas won the series against Ole Miss on Sunday. You know what the final score was?
Tell me.
18-14.
He just said that.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Gosh.
I wanted you to tell me because I wanted you to say it.
I'll be out for the rest of the segment.
That's okay. It's okay. Good job. Turn your mic off. Back away from the mic. 18-14.
SEC East standings now. Vanderbilt and Tennessee tied at the top, 9-3.
Nope. Don't come back. You're out. You're down.
Well, just for clarification, did he say they won the series? Was that new information I brought, or –
Well, but you said, guess what the score was Sunday.
Yeah, okay, so it was the score that he had said.
We've been talking about the score, not just that score, but how the scoring was way up, and we had, I said 18-40, and he was like, 18-40, man, that's a lot.
Yeah, so it had actually been said twice.
We kind of chewed on the score, and then you were like, mm-hmm. guess what the score was?
Yeah, because I was looking to see who won the series.
Right, which means you weren't listening. Turn your mic off.
Yep.
Yeah. No. It's not much time left in the segment. It's not that big of a penalty box. Did you know Tennessee leads the nation in wins? We have more wins than any team in the country. Now you know.
The more you know.
This is the first time Tennessee has won 4 series in the SEC since, I think it was 51 years. We've won the first 4 SEC series of the season. That's the most we've won in the last 51 years, we have 6 SEC series left. So this is going to be, assuming we can win one more series in conference anywhere, this will be, on paper, the best Tennessee baseball team of all time. Oh, and as Rusty Enzer said, I said on paper. As Rusty Enzer said, right.
Let's wait to see how things shake out.
I'm telling on paper.
All right.
Rusty Enzer made a really good point. He thought Tennessee's team last year was actually better than this year's team. And look at what this year's team is doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this team's going to travel to Western Carolina tomorrow for 5 p.m. midweek game in Cullowhee, North Carolina.
Oh, tomorrow?
I don't like having to travel ahead of maybe the series of the year.
Well, that's probably why they did it on Tuesday instead of a Wednesday nighter. Sure. Get back, get a couple days. Unless we're not the Thursday series, are we?
No, we're not.
Okay,
no.
So we are Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's the rivalry.
I got a
in-state. It's.
I'm going to put out an APB for tickets. I could use a pair to really any of these games this weekend.
The one sport they're actually really good at.
And women's bowling. Don't forget. Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
I was just going to say.
No, you're in the penalty box. You can't do that.
I was just going to say, hopefully I'll be there this weekend.
I don't need that information when you're in the penalty box.
Insider
bring that, stop. You are breaking.
Monday.
Okay, turn it off. For now, you're out. Next segment. Yep, that's the rules. Sorry, I didn't make them. Actually, I might have.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. But rules are meant to be followed, not broken, Alex.
Vanderbilt at Tennessee, Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
We really might jump them. We might be the higher ranked team.
Friday, 7 o'clock, first pitch, ESPNU.
What?
Saturday.
ESPNU?
ESPNU.
Ooh, the big boys. I like it.
Saturday, 4 p.m., SEC Network. Sunday, 1 p.m., SEC Network Plus.
When does postseason start?
A long time from now. Why?
May.
Like late May?
Yeah.
Just figuring out when I need to start caring.
This is what I dealt with all Friday.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to the podcast.
Please don't.
Quality control.
He does a sports show. He doesn't care about sports.
I thought you guys could handle it. One day. Just one little day.
Oh, I was fine.
I thought it went well.
There's a stunner.
I heard we had a open practice Saturday. It didn't get canceled.
It didn't.
The rain didn't come till later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was
anything?
What was everybody's take on that? Like, I don't know. Is there? I watched a lot of video clips, but was anybody there that watched the whole thing saying like, "Man, look a lot better than I thought," or "Man, they're just kind of struggling," or "Man, about as I expected."
New Year's Six Bowl, here we come.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know, like, who's the? Is it D. Beckwith that was
that
the hype machine?
That was the one video I saw where they gave D. Beckwith a little outside zone handoff, and he looked. He looked good. I'm not saying he is, but he looks a lot like Derrick Henry. I'm just saying he runs well for a big guy.
Just go
watch the clip and close your eyes as you
go
watch
ahead,
the clip.
Just go ahead.
I was kidding about the close your eyes as you watch the clip. That would make watching the clip really difficult.
I mean, it's April the 12th. Go ahead. Just lay it out
there. I'm just saying he looks good. That's it. That's my take. He looked really good in one run where he ran into somebody who went low to make a tackle, and he bounced off of him, and he drove the pile forward. His stride looks good. He looks fast for a big guy. They said he runs like sub 4.5. I'm just saying.
Titans AFC Championship run, Derrick Henry. That's D. Beckwith.
Oh, boy.
Or Houston Crest.
No, I'm just saying he's 6'5", 225 with long dreads. I mean, he looks like him.
227. No, he's up 2 more pounds. I just want to make sure you get all.
Okay, we're talking about the difference of do they weigh him before or after lunch? Get out of here with that. Is he really 227 now? What's Henry, 245?
Yeah, they have him listed around that.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
Need to point out that he was running through linebackers that aren't linebackers.
That is a good point. That was I took that into consideration.
Yeah, the one of the write-ups says Beckwith doesn't really look like a running back due to his height, and he's got to work on his pad level. He's dynamic with the football in his hands. He trucked a defensive back on one nice
run. Oh, it was a DB. It was a DB. It wasn't a linebacker. It's good. We don't have any linebackers, so that makes a lot of sense.
He gets downhill quickly.
Well, maybe it was a DB playing linebacker.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're going to need those DBs to make some tackles.
Why are you still talking? This is still the same segment.
Yeah.
And I've shut you down for this segment and now the following segment.
Set an alarm for 8 o'clock. That's when you can talk again. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number one, next. Final segment, hour one. Billy Wilford has let me know that Xander Schauffele said he hit the right, said he hit the shot correctly on 16. Said it was flush. Just picked the wrong club. How do you pick? How is that possible? Is this 16 of the Masters? Like it was 180.
Just
like,
made the wrong guess
picked the wrong. Like he hit 8 when he should have hit 7 or 9.
What I'm saying, like, did he? Like, did he mean to grab the 7 but grab the 8, or did he think the distance, like, was it a distance thing?
No, I'm sure he had the right club in his hand.
All right, just checking. If you say so. Just wondering.
Surely.
Wow, your guy can't even pick the right club.
That's way, it's way short. I mean, if he flushed it, like, it wasn't even close to the right club. Is that him blaming his caddy?
I don't know. I mean, he has a distance book, too. Just a misread happens.
I mean, it's normal for the casual golfer, but I feel like he should know how far he can hit a shot. I mean, if he flushed it and it was that short, like, what a mistake.
Sad.
Cost you the win in our 3-and-out 1v1 pool.
Yeah, it did.
And so we had a tie. Neat.
Great. So, Jalin Hyatt wasn't in the practice. Not sure why. Two other receivers were in non-contact jerseys. Apparently got some running backs, though.
Yeah, it feels like we have a million running backs.
Yeah, we got to figure out the pecking order there.
It also feels like, I mean, we got a lot of depth at receiver. Got to find a quarterback.
Do we have depth or just have guys?
Isn't that depth? I didn't say quality depth. I just said okay. We got a lot of guys. Lot, you know, that's depth.
Okay.
I thought we had the exact opposite. Like, I thought you look at the number of scholarship players we have, and we're hurting in that category. Yeah,
not at wide receiver, though.
Oh, okay. We're just one unit. Okay.
Yeah, right. Jalin Hyatt, Weidman, Holiday, Jones, Callaway, Tillman, Keaton, Kobe, Merrill.
A lot of returning production.
I didn't say that either. Hmm. Did you see, was it PFF? Ran the report that 37-point-something% of Josh Palmer's targets last year were uncatchable. Uncatchable. 37% of the time.
37. Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Basically had no shot.
No shot. 40% of the, like...
If you watch practice, this is our best option. It's not even close, you moron. You don't know anything about football.
37%.
Good Lord.
Yep. Not good. Not good.
So basically you're starting with the absolute best chance will be 63% completion percentage. And that's before the defender's even involved at all.
Right. That's if he catches everything.
That's like against air.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
So basically, if JG played quarterback and the pass rush and all the front seven stuff was the same, but there was no one defending the receivers, but he had to throw the pass when he would normally have to throw it,
mm-hmm.
because defenders are there, like we'd still have 37% of the balls would hit the ground. Like, think about that for a second. That is insane.
It's not good.
Good grief.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, apparently, Austin Pope being back will be nice because, you know, the tight ends, whew, outside of him, pretty rough. And that's a position that's going to suck. Loving that the offensive line played with a lot of different combinations, moving guys around a lot.
I don't mind it in spring practice. I only mind it during the season. It sounds like they ran the ball pretty well, though. D-line was without a few people.
No linebackers. but yeah, sure.
All right.
Well, I mean, they really
if
don't
this
have
is going to be the conversation every time we talk about Tennessee practice and scrimmage, I don't know what you want.
They really don't have any linebackers. I mean, they've got a couple linebackers that are just out that'll be back for the season. That's not that bit. You know, it's not that big a deal. It's just, you know how these things go. One unit does well, it's like, yeah, the optimist can be like, oh, check out that running game. And the pessimist can always go like, yeah, but our defense.
We missed five tackles.
Yeah. Same thing. Like, man, we got a lot of sacks. Look at those edge rushers. Oh,
offensive
crap.
Line's garbage.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
Some good, some bad. That's what happens when you play against yourself.
I'm just glad they got the practice in. I'm glad for the fans that decided to go down there that they didn't get rained out last minute. That would have stunk.
All in all, it sounds like it was a positive weekend
Tennessee
football.
We got Cade Mays. I mean, Jerome Carvin's played a lot of football.
Got Cooper.
Yeah.
At center. Got to feel good about that. He was a four-star, wasn't he? Cooper, wasn't he a four-star center?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure he was. Got to feel good. Positive stuff.
Darnell Wright's still there. I don't know.
Did he get benched? Or is he, like, backing up at right tackle now? How about Big Dane Davis?
Don't you just kind of have to put Cade Mays at left tackle?
I thought Dane Davis was left tackle.
He had been playing there too as they put Mays at some other spots, but I mean, don't you need to just put your best lineman at left tackle? Can we just do that for once, please?
That would be good. That would be good. Is Maurer going to start?
Well, so I started watching the Juice episode 2, and then I got interrupted. I never went back and finished it. So I'll have to give you my complete take tomorrow. But didn't – no, it was an interview I read, I think, where Heupel said that they had been given the ones – they had been given all three of the guys first-team reps in practice, kind of rotating it around.
Right. Yeah, I mean, finally, it's a true open quarterback competition.
Competing.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if the coaches know – they probably have an idea at this point, but
I did hear a rumor that Tennessee may be looking to add one more quarterback through the transfer portal.
Okay.
Somebody else brought up the question on Caden Salter. Obviously, his charges got dismissed, but someone brought up if there might be an issue with him going forward and if his eligibility, you know, and someone brought up the GoFundMe for his dad. By the way, his dad is doing much, much better.
That's good.
So, I mean, he still has a lot of equipment on him, but he's walking around and, you know, the healing process is taking place. But they're worried about the NCAA maybe doing something because Tennessee fans someone started the GoFundMe for medical bills. I feel like, did we not play was there not a kid on Indiana's team and they said, like, his parents lost their house in a fire or something like that, and the Indiana fans raised some money to get them to Indiana and the NCAA said that was okay.
Yeah, can't we just have some common sense here? I mean, if a GoFundMe gets started before a kid signs for something that's obviously bogus, okay, fine. But, I mean,
I guess the worry was it might have been him that started it. Like, Caden Salter himself launched the GoFundMe.
For his dad?
Yeah. Again, I'm... Because apparently the Indiana fans started that on their own, but this was the Caden... Or the Salter family that started. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just write it down. A little note. You can bring it to us in 5 minutes when the 8 o'clock hour kicks off. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm serious. I'm serious. You go to 8:30.
Well, we did wish him.
Oh my God.
We did wish him happy birthday.
All right.
So.
All right. 8:30. Keep pushing it back. It's fine. Grounded. You just can't do it. What is the deal? What is this?
I'm worried he's not focused.
You're worried he's not focused at all?
The Legal Beagle's got a big matchup tonight.
And he's still not bought in.
In the regular season.
Probably doesn't have his cleats.
Doesn't have cleats yet, I'm sure.
You
were supposed to bring them in.
Okay, okay. 8:45.
You didn't bring the cleats?
No. I can drop them off. Are you coming back to the station later?
No.
Can you swing by here on your way to the field? Oh, now you're not going to talk. Okay, okay.